And look at here how to receive the truth. God tells us how. He tells us that there are various ways for us to receive the truth. We could simplify this and say because God commands it or something to that nature. But I believe it's a little more deeply revealed to us than that, of how we are to receive it. The Bible tells us of its character and its content. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, John has written there, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." Thy word, God's word, is truth. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23, at the end of verse 23 there, Peter says there that the word of God which liveth and abideth, it is a living word. And this word, he begins there, verse 22, it seems you have purified your souls in your obedience to his word, to his truth. Thy word is truth, John says, and we have purified your souls in obedience to that truth, that word. In John chapter 8, and verses 31 and 32, a few words that are well known to most people, if not all within the church itself. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from the bondage of sin. Not free to do whatever you want to do. It's not, Jesus isn't giving us a license to go out and do whatever. But he talks about is free from the bondage of sin. You shall know the truth. You shall know the word of God, and that it liveth and abideth. And that truth, that word of God, is going to make you free. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 21. For seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God. It was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Believe that his word is truth. Believe that, again, that it will make us free. That it liveth and abideth. In closing, in Paul's life and coming down to his death, he tells Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 2, preach the word. The same word John talks about. The same word Peter talks about. The same word that Paul talks about. It's all the same. It's all one message. All coming down and saying the same thing. These things being true of the New Testament, it's obvious to us, or should be obvious to us, that we need to pay attention to the message of God, this message from God. And our purpose in this lesson is just to note some ways of how to receive the truth. To begin with, there, inquiringly. Have an inquiry mind. You heard the statement, inquiry minds want to know. It was a statement that went along with a tabloid magazine. We need to have that mind, an inquiring mind, to know the Word of God. Inquire, or inquirely, Weston says, to search for truth, information, or knowledge, research, investigation. I believe that the people on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 had this kind of mind, an inquiring mind. After they were told that they crucified the Christ. Verse 37, he says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and asked this question, brethren, What shall we do? They inquire there. What can we do to take that guilt away from us, that sin away from us? Inquiring of Peter there. What do I need to do? What information do I need to give me knowledge of God's will? Where are you going to go? Or where are we going to go to give us knowledge of God's will? Remember what Peter says? It says that we are to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that is within us. Where are we going to go to find out about that hope to begin with? And where are we going to go and search? And others searching for this hope, where are we going to point them to? Paul had an inquiring mind as well. When he met with Ananias, after hearing what Ananias had to say, in Acts chapter 16, this question is asked. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? An inquiring mind by the same question there asked in Acts chapter 2. What shall we do? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? This Philippian jailer here. What can I do? How can I come to know? How can I come to be saved? How can I be set free from my sin? In Acts chapter 22 and in verse 10. What shall I do? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. There's that inquiring mind. What shall I do, Lord? What would you have me do? The inquiring mind here is going to suggest there, if you will, that we don't know what to do unless God has told us. We don't know what God wants for us if He hasn't told us. Thankfully, God has told us what He wants from us or what He expects of us and what to do. But if we want to search for truth and knowledge of God and knowledge of His will, we're going to have this inquiring mind. And this inquiring mind is going to be able to enable us to receive that truth and appreciate it much more. But we are also to receive the truth discriminately. Definition here is to separate like things one from another in comprehension or use by discerning the minute differences. To distinguish accurately or to carefully check and search out a matter. We are to discriminate what is true, what is not true. We are to reject those things that are not true. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits. Examine those. Test them. Why? To see whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There are many more people that are going to try and turn you from God than try to turn you to God. And that's an unfortunate circumstance we live in, because the majority of the world has not accepted God, is not obedient to God. So they're going to try and turn you from Him. And that force that power that they have, sometimes is too powerful. And people succumb to that. Too many people follow what the person says instead of what God says. I'm convinced almost 100% that within the denominational world, and those in denominations, if they read the scriptures, they would not be part of that denomination. Many times in denominations, you see them as they're following the person, the man in there, and not God. Not anxious to see, or not inquiringly want to know what God has to say, but what comes from the mouth of the one that stands before them in the pulpit is accepted as truth. Why? Because more often times than not, he has those letters behind his name, PhD, or Dr. So-and-so. And they know. Well, he must know. He's a doctor. He's got that degree. So he must know exactly what God says and what the scriptures say. John says to believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits. The Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. They didn't accept even what was taught to them. And this was an apostle. It said of those, now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They received the word with a readiness of mind, ready to know it, to understand it. But what they did was examining the scriptures daily, whether the things that they were receiving from this man teaching them, they were searching the scriptures daily to see what they were being taught, if it was in harmony with the gospel, with the Bible. They were ready to receive the truth. And they received the truth. But they also made sure that the truth was being taught. They were proving by God's word to see if what they were being taught is true. We need to receive the scriptures with a readiness of mind. There in Acts chapter 17, verse 11 again, as those Bereans did. If it is truth, if it is from God, if it is His word, receive it. These Bereans, their nobility consisted in the fact that they were neither stubbornly, they were not stubborn, they did not refuse to listen to new teaching, nor did they gullibly accept what they were being taught. There was something new to them, so they wanted to know. They wanted to know more about it, so they searched the scriptures daily. What they heard, they didn't just accept it because this man of God said, this is true. They wanted to be sure for themselves. We can become more like these Bereans in our lives. And we will not be so easily carried away from the truth. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 14. That you may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. The one who is searching the scriptures and ready to receive the truth in them. Is going to know what God says. And that every doctrine that comes about, they're not going to follow after. I know too many people that somebody comes and teaches, they know the truth. These are Christians I'm talking about here. They know the truth. But this one comes over here and teaches this one thing, so they start following this one over here. But then again, this one man comes over here this way and starts this way and teaching something else. They start following this one. And so on. It's a cycle. Because they're not ready. They're not searching the scriptures. They don't know the scriptures. They're children. They're following after what they want to hear. What they want the scriptures to say. One that has a readiness of mind is going to be ready to receive the truth. And not every doctrine that comes about. We need to have an open heart when it comes to the scriptures. And ready to receive it. Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. Unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with our heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. The quotation here taken from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. By the hardness of their heart and the deceitfulness of sin, people are going to close their eyes and close their ears to the truth. Unfortunately, it's a fact. But we need to be careful with ourselves that we are not closing our eyes and our ears. Albert Barnes of this says, the meaning is that the people were so gross and sensual and prejudiced that they would not see the truth or understand anything that was contrary to their opinions and sensual desires, a case by no means uncommon in the world. They were given over to their sin, and they were engrossed in their sin. That they could not open their hearts and open their eyes and their ears to hear the truth. That's what happens when sin has such a strong hold on us. It dulls our ears and closes our eyes. So that we can't see the truth. And as it progresses, if we continue in that sin, and our eyes become closed and shut, and our ears are closed up and dull of hearing, not only do we not see the truth, but we don't want to see and know the truth anymore. That's the power of sin. That's the progress of sin. Jesus says, in contrast to those that he talks about there in verse 14 and 15. The contrast here is there, verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Blessed are you. Blessed are your eyes and your ears, for they still see, and they still hear. And still able to open your heart and receive the truth. And know what the truth can do. Don't let Satan and his power
close your eyes and dull your ears to the truth. We need to receive the truth with love. Have a love for the truth. A love that is so strong that there is nothing that we would not do to have it. Nothing that we would not do to study it. To know it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. If we don't have that kind of love for the truth, we're just as these Thessalonians here. Satan's power and his signs and his lying and his deceit we will give into and perish. Man can perish in his sins, or he can have a love for the truth which will save his soul. But if one loves the truth, he'll obey it. If there's no love for it, again, this is not just words that are coming out of our mouth. I love the truth. I love God. I love the Bible. These are not just words that come out here. But it is shown. It is shown by our actions that we love the truth. By our obedience and inner obedience to it. The choice is made by each of us. Whether we love the truth or not, or how much we love the truth, we make that choice. But know this, if you don't have a love for the truth and do not obey it, you will perish in your sins. God has done everything to keep you from doing that, from going to that place of eternal torment. He has given you every tool, every resource. He gives you the encouragement. He gives you the strength to avoid that place. And he loves you enough that he does not want to see you in that place. Do we reciprocate that love by our obedience to it? If we have a love for the truth, we will want to receive it, and we will obey it. But we also need to receive the word, receive the truth gladly. Back again on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. They that received his word, the King James translation there uses gladly as well. They then that gladly received his word were baptized. They were glad to hear that, glad to receive it, glad to be taught. And upon hearing that, they were baptized for the remission of their sins. That there's that expression there of love and the gladness that they had that they were taught the truth. They obeyed it. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 18, and straightway, immediately,
There fell from his eyes, as a Saul, as it were scales. He received his sight, and he arose and was baptized. Immediately upon hearing the truth, he gladly received it. And again, that expression of love for the truth and gladness that he was taught, he arose and was baptized.
Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Why tarriest thou? Ananias asked, why tarriest thou? Why wait any longer? Arise and be baptized or wash away thy sins. The Jews on Pentecost and the Apostle Paul all gladly received the truth. And they had a love for it that led them to be obedient to it. What about you? What about me? Are we glad to receive it? Or are we glad to receive it? Or are we showing that love that we have by living it? It needs to be received as the Word of God. Note here, if you will, these scriptures as a source for the testimony of those that this is the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 13. Of these, there's, as it is in truth, the Word of God. They received that. They received the message. Accepted it as truth. Accepted it as the Word of God. James chapter 1 and verses 17 and 18. In verse 18, verse 17, it begins there. Every good and every perfect gift is from God above. Verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 23, through the word of God which liveth and abideth. And Romans chapter 1 verse 16, for it is the gospel, Paul says he's not ashamed of, it is the power of God. These are just but a few testifying and to that this is the Word of God. And that there is no other gospel given by God but what we have. They accepted it as the Word of God. They accepted it when told or when heard. The people in the first century, those who obeyed when they heard the truth. Again, those on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. They were added that day, about 3,000 souls. They recognize the urgency and the importance of being obedient to it when heard. They recognize what they needed to do and how their life was when they were told. They were told pretty bluntly by Peter, you crucified the Christ. You are responsible for the death of the Son of God. That's a burden that they had to carry on their shoulders. But that burden was lifted by their obedience to the truth. Acts chapter 9 and verse 18 again. Immediately he arose and was baptized. When he heard it. No delay. Recognize the importance and the urgency of needing to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 16 and verse 33. This is a Philippian jailer. They're the same hour of the night. And while he washed their stripes, and he was baptized, and he and all his, immediately. The same when he heard it. Not only was he baptized, but he and his house, when they heard it, immediately obeyed and were baptized. There's an urgency that we need to convey more to the lost. Each passing moment, it becomes more urgent for them to obey the gospel. They need to know. And they need to understand. That life is uncertain. And death comes to us all. And implore them, plead with them, to be obedient to the truth. We need to receive the truth obediently. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Luke has similar words to say in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Obedience, it suggests action there. There's something that we must do to be obedient, to become obedient. Jesus obeyed. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. He had to learn obedience. And we have to learn obedience. And he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. We learn by the example that he set. We learn by the examples given to us, the Acts of the Apostles. Acts, the works that are contained within that book there. There are works that those people had to do to become obedient, to be obedient. We learn by those examples. We learn from the Scriptures. If we're not ready to receive it, we're not ready to love it and accept it as God's Word, then we can in no way be obedient to it. We need to accept and receive the truth for eternity, for all. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. By the truth, and sell it not. Once you get hold of it, do all that you are within your power. Do all that you can to do to keep hold of it. Don't let it go. Be thou faithful unto death. Do whatever you have to do to remain faithful. If that means you need a greater amount of time to study your Bible in the day than someone else, do it. If that means that you don't have an understanding of a particular scripture, you need to search out someone who can help you understand that, do it. Do whatever it takes to remain faithful.
buy the truth and sell it not. There is no price on the scriptures. Far more valuable than anything. Don't sell it short. That it cannot help you. Receiving the truth is just not a one-time proposition. It's something that we must continue to accept as truth. We must continue to accept the truth as we learn it, as we study it. And that is a lifelong pursuit. You may not in your lifetime, however long that might be, or my lifetime, we may never have a full and complete understanding of the truth. We may never know it all. But we need to do everything possible to pursue that goal. Learn it. The more we learn it, the more of it we will accept. Have you received the truth? And there are various reactions to the truth. There are various reactions that people have to the truth. How did you react to it? Did you obey it? If you answer the answer to that, brother, what shall we do? What shall I do? Or what must I do to be saved? Many times the reaction is just the opposite of those. Rejected. And many want nothing to do with it at all. Will you receive the truth? Receive the truth properly. In these ways that we talked about this evening. Will you receive it? With love in your heart. Will you accept it? Will you obey it while we stand and while we sing?